You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 101, Homeschool Co-op.
This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
Hi, hey everybody. Guys.
Welcome back. We're on episode 101. Today we're going to talk about homeschool co-ops.
Yes.
And specifically how ours is set up, because we've had a lot of questions about it, because we speak so highly of our co-op that we love so much. So we're going to dive into that. But first, I want to read you guys an awesome review. Thank you again to you guys who have left reviews, and we're begging for more. So if you listen and love us, hop over to iTunes and leave us a review. It helps us in so many ways. So this is from Kaylin88. And she says, thank you so much for this podcast. The happy music at the start of this podcast reminds me of the times I listened to the Call to Homeschool Mamas in summer 2020. I was so inspired and I knew I was called to homeschool too. I wasn't sure if I could do it and you held my hand while I took the plunge. You guys inspire me each week as I listen. Homeschool is the best thing I've done this year. Keep up the amazing work. Thanks for what you've done for our family.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's a wonderful review. And you know what? We love our happy music so much. Every time we press record, we start humming behind the scenes here, and you don't get to hear that, thankfully. Yeah. But
we have fun. To carry a tune. No, it's so fun. But we're really excited to dive into co-ops today because I think it's one of our very first episodes, like number two or something, about socialization.
Yeah.
I think I saw a homeschool meme about it, like calm homeschool mom. Then it says you talk about socialization and she escalates to a 10, right? It's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you think I lock my children up in a basement?
Right, right.
No.
And we definitely do not and don't believe in that.
No. And so it's like, if you build it, they will come. Like, you can create it, you can find it, and it's totally doable. So we want to just talk about kind of like some different styles of co-ops and then go into a lot of detail about our co-op.
Yes. Exactly.
So Karin and I actually met at a co-op.
We did.
Ooh, like a blind date.
So fun. We met at Friday Fun Classes, right?
It was. And yes. So this cute mom just...
There's a name for you if you need one.
Yeah, Friday Fun Class. So this cute mom just wanted to have something for her kids to hang out with other kids. I don't even know how I found her. Probably Yahoo Groups.
Stacey?
Yes. Yes. Remember when Yahoo Groups was a thing?
Yes, Yahoo Groups were awesome.
It was probably through that.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, so that one, how many families do you think were in that group?
Oh, it was smaller, maybe 5 to 10.
Up to 10, I would guess. Yeah, and that one, we met at a little community center. And I feel like that was like my first year of homeschooling or second year of homeschooling that I joined that, because I remember just being a little like overwhelmed and just feeling like, oh, I could never teach. Oh, I could never. I just felt intimidated and overwhelmed that year. That's kind of how I felt at that place. I loved it and I learned a lot and I made some awesome friends there, thankfully. And it helped me grow during that phase. But I remember just being like, well, we had a class per age group, right? Yeah. So there
I think it was more fun.
It was just fun stuff. Yeah.
Literally,
I remember
Friday
there
fun
being
class.
Like a choir class and a craft class and, I don't know, a little preschool music time class.
It was just really short
like
and simple. And I think it was only half a day.
Yes. It was short. It was good. And then we went to a park and played for a couple of hours afterwards.
And then I was trying to think of the right timeline, but I believe it evolved into Strive.
It did. It evolved into the next one we were a part of, which was a little more structured.
Yes. So the mom who created Strive took over it. She is a huge TJ Ed fan. And she loves, what are those classes called?
The Lemmy classes?
Lemmy, that's what they're called. So she loves the Lemmy classes that are Knights of Freedom. And you've taught one before. What did you teach?
I did the Pyramid Project.
Yes. Shakespeare, like all the awesome Lemmy classes. So this mom had done some research and she really wanted to have Strive go start going down that path. And she's actually, the group she's in, I think she maybe is the president and she runs a full group.
She does. She runs a full group and does like for the older teens and stuff too now. And that one, I feel like Strive, it's interesting because the co-ops I was in at the beginning were very young families. And I think that as our families grew, we recognized the need for more for our older kids, because typically what would happen with these co-ops, the first two or three I was in, this happened where it would, as the kids would get older, the families would drop out because their teens didn't want to be part of it because there wasn't something for them there. And so they would usually leave. And so this FLA, our latest one that we're in, recognized that problem and really wanted to focus on developing a strong teen group that kept them there and helped them in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So Karen went to our group is Family Leadership Academy, mm-hmm. and Karen went there the first year.
I did.
I didn't. I had had baby number 6 at this time. And I remember I just wanted a co-op where I didn't have to teach. I didn't want to commit. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wanted a place to drop my kids off for 2 hours and just catch my breath.
Yeah.
So I found a mom who was teaching a writing class and mm-hmm. said, just pay me to teach a writing class. Like, pay me. You can drop your kids off. And so I did that. And then there was another cute mom who did a Shakespeare class.
Mm-hmm.
And she was amazing. I do not remember her name nor how I found her. But, like, she sparked my kids' love for Shakespeare.
Awesome.
My big kids like Shakespeare a lot more because of that class. And then I came to, it'll call it FLA, but I came to FLA with Karen that second year it was mm-hmm. opened.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, before our Friday fun where we met, I did a little, a smaller one. It was, I feel like maybe only about 5 to 6 families where we only met once a month and we rotated homes. And then the person whose home it was at was in charge of a family activity of some sort and a snack. And the whole family was there and the whole family participated. And so it was just, It was kind of my jumping in point where mm-hmm. I think my oldest was preschool age and it was like, I'm going to homeschool. So I need to meet homeschoolers. Yeah. And that was where I started. And it was a good way for me to just kind of dive into the world of it and meet some people. And that's where I met Tammy, another dear friend of ours.
And, well, a bunch of our friends from Strive came over to FLA.
They did. A lot of them moved over. And I think it was kind of at that same point where a lot of us had
kids. Well,
it's
when they went to those
getting
teen years.
Older and they needed something for their older kids. And so I remember it was a hard decision for me to leave one group and moved to the other because I loved the people I was
yes
leaving.
I remember when they all left I was like
and
what?
it was hard, but I was so grateful I did because the growth that happened in our family after this new co-op was incredible.
Well, yeah, so some of these co-ops were just perfect for little kids mm-hmm. where you can just play at a park and it is very fulfilling to them and
yes.
it is enough for them
mm-hmm.
and like I was diving into TJ Ed a little bit, so I was thinking about this. You have that 0 to 8 range
mm-hmm.
right
the
and
love
then
of learning.
Yeah, well I think 8 to is 12 it, is love of learning.
Oh, is it? Oh, what's the younger one called? I forget. It's been so long since I've read that. But yeah.
I have it right here.
The younger ones.
The younger one is core phase.
That's right.
And so my kids were entering into this older phase. And so the co-op, they needed more.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted deeper connections and relationships. And they were ready for more content.
Yes.
They were ready for more than just swinging swords around and giggling and mm-hmm. telling jokes.
Yeah. And Family Leadership Academy, where we are now, is it really has focused on the teen group
mm-hmm.
and as well as all the ages. But
its main focus
and its main goal is to develop a strong base for teens and to have them build good relationships, but also have a place where they can learn deep and discuss things and just have friends that are similar to them and that they love being around.
But it's interesting. So when I applied for FLA, I was coming with two and a half teens, right? Because my
mm-hmm.
daughter's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, you have teens, you're in.
Yeah.
And now how big is our teen group?
Oh, it's huge. There's
60.
We have to split into two now. Yeah, there's probably 60.
Yes. And
it's
so,
amazing.
Yeah. And so it's this awesome group. But what I love when it was still kind of small and you had more intimate
mm-hmm.
relationships,
mm-hmm.
when one of the girls was having her sweet 16, she invited my 12-year-old daughter to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it mm-hmm. there wasn't weird.
No.
It wasn't
and
like,
they do that
12.
Still. My little 12-year-old has been invited to birthday
oh, yeah.
parties of some of the older girls too. And she feels so honored and so included that a 12-year-old would go to a sweet 16 party is just like the best thing in the world. You know, she's so happy.
Well, there's just a beauty to it because like once you are in your 20s and beyond, nobody cares what age you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know Karen and I are close in age. But like if we were 5 or 6 years apart,
it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right. My husband's 4 years older than me.
So
and like,
mine.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
okay. Oh, we both are dating older men. Right. But like, it doesn't matter. And
yeah.
so how beautiful to give them this gift of.
Yeah. And they're
years.
That way in this group where they don't really care their age. They're just, oh, you're one of us. You're
yeah.
our friend. And it's great. They're a great group. Anyway, so I want to kind of tell you the outline of how it's set up, the structure of our Family Leadership Academy group. We meet every Friday
mm-hmm.
and we meet, well, normally it's the whole day. It's like 9 to 2.
Yeah.
Right
so
now,
this
we're
is, we're
going to
talk about pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID. Yes. COVID times are a little different, but typically it's a full day event from like 9
yeah.
to 2.
Yeah. And they would do like 3 weeks on, 1 week off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was the best when we figured that part out because.
And then it
really
ends up being 12 classes.
Yeah. So 12 per semester, we use semesters and each hour. From 9 to 2, we have a lunch hour, but each hour there are 1 to 2 classes per age group.
Mm-hmm.
The younger ones usually just have one, like the preschoolers and 5 and 6 year olds have one. And then the older kids will have 2 options.
And sometimes 3.
Sometimes 3. Yeah. Yeah. And, we teach them. the moms and the dads teach them. Very occasionally we have
someone. We tried hiring people out, but they would charge like $100 a kid. And I remember one semester, because I had so many teens, mm-hmm. and it was almost $1,000 for me. And I was like, I can't.
Yeah, so we've had to make a lot of decisions over time to keep costs really low for families, because when you have a big family, which most of us do,
yeah,
it just gets too pricey and then people can't afford to keep coming. So yeah, mostly it's just mom and dad taught.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a board of elected moms that run it each year. It typically changes presidency every 1 to 2 years.
President's usually 2 years, mm-hmm. right? And then every other position is willy-nilly.
There's 5 to 6. I think there's 6.
There's like
members.
A president, a vice president, treasurer, secretary.
There's like a youth PR position and a public relations. Yeah. So, and those are elected every year. We elect mm-hmm. new board members. And they just kind of help keep everything running smoothly.
Do the schedule.
They bring in the new member, the families, and interview them. They
find
keep
a
up
building.
With the fees and the dues, find a place to meet. There have been a lot of problems there over the years. It's hard to find a building that lets us come.
So I'm wondering if it's a Utah problem.
I don't know. Well, a big problem here is that the LDS Church does not allow homeschoolers to meet in their buildings.
And other churches don't allow LDS people to meet in their buildings.
That is true. They don't want us there because we're not of their faith. And so we struggle here to find a place to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's our biggest obstacle, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too. But we do have a really great spot we meet in right now, which is perfect.
Well, it's stinky.
It is stinky. It's actually a barn. It's so funny. It's a barn.
One day I want to build my own.
Yeah. But for now, it's great. It's far
it
away
suffices.
From us, though. Yes. Okay. So we, some of the law, we have like a set of bylaws that we have families sign every year.
Mm-hmm.
We have to sign saying we'll follow the rules. And some of those rules, I was trying to think of some of them, but being consistent with your building payment.
You have to have an parent there all day.
You have to have a parent there.
So
it's not
parent
a drop off.
Or a grandma, because I think your mom's even
chaperone.
Come. A chaperone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nanny. We've had a nanny come before.
Had a nanny come. Mm-hmm.
You have to teach a class and assist in the class, unless you've had a baby.
Yeah. Having babies get a semester off, which is good. It's needed. We have kind of a dress code. We have, it's very silly, but either solid color collared shirts
or our cool
the t-shirts
homeschool
that we make
t-shirt.
Every year that we just make. We have a new theme every year. And so we make a t-shirt.
But it's not really enforced, but like highly recommended.
Yeah. And then, just like general respect and kindness and things like that.
Yeah,
and
respect the
honestly,
building.
Honestly, there's only been one.
Well, so I was going to talk about that.
We don't have to talk about that.
Well, so it's interesting because we have this co-op that's running really well now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know more than once we've been teased for being kind of an elitist group, like because you can't just let everybody in. A lot of times,
Well, there's not a lot of space because people don't leave.
Well, and then I come with 7 kids, but some people come with 10.
Yeah.
And not just one family comes with 10, but multiple people have 7, 8, 9, 10 kids, right? So if somebody shows up with 1 or 2, it's like, you're in. Like, you're a mom and you only have 2 kids, right? But so there is some logistics where you can't let everybody in. But we do an interview process versus mm-hmm. a waitlist process.
Well, we do both. We have
it is a waitlist, but it's off demographics.
But then we go by demographics and we go typically if you have a friend in the group, you have a much higher chance of getting in because we have
not anymore because the waitlist has gotten bigger.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say I was trying to get a friend in last year.
Oh, really?
Yes. She did not get in.
Oh, no.
But anyway, I was not on the board. So that's my own fault for not being on the board. I needed a break. But we have requirements to join mm-hmm. and some people are think that's silly, but Costco has requirements to join. And if you don't want to go to Costco, then don't buy a membership. Mm-hmm. And a lot of churches and religions, in order to join it, they have requirements of you, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm pretty sure if I decided to go be Jewish today, I would have to go through a process to join their church, right? I can't just show up and say, I'm in. Right. Yeah. Like I have to process, but they're loving. They would be very nice to me and all those things, but there's a process. So there is a beauty of that. Are you willing to commit to what we're asking you mm-hmm. to do? Mm-hmm. I love Kara, who we talked about that does our learning circle. When she was president, I like to call her prison Kara, but she just was very upfront.
Yeah.
This is what's expected of you. This is my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
This is my family. you cannot mess with my sisters and my family. But it was so great because people always knew exactly what was expected.
Yes.
Of us. She says it really eloquently. She's making her sound great. Right. But like just knowing, like, here's what expected of you. You can't just drop your kids off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not going to fly.
Nope. It's a family co-op. It's a place where we're all there together and we, the whole families are friends. It's not just, you know, I don't know the
moms. Your kids are going to marry my kids. Right. Like, that's the goal, part of the bylaws. Just kidding.
Yeah. So it's good. So we do have to cap based on just like size of our building and stuff too. And then,
and how many cars, like, we're coming with big cars.
Yeah. We we do. There's so many big vans.
Oh my gosh, it's funny. I still have mine. By the way, we were having major car problems, and the only car that wasn't crappy was the 15-passenger van. I was like, way to commit, girl.
That's funny.
But so, I was just going to say, with the interview process, like when you feel bad, like I feel bad to say no, and somebody really likes them, but you know that they're not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually coached on this before. If you know somebody is not a good fit, it's a no. Because you're going to have the conversation with them either right up front and just be up and saying, like, this isn't a good fit. Or you're going to let them in and have to have that conversation later, which mm-hmm. is probably going to be more awkward or more difficult when you have to kick them out.
Yeah.
Because you know they're not going to follow the rules. Like, we've had families not pay the dues.
Mm-hmm.
And not willing to teach or just drop their kids off. And mm-hmm. so it's much easier to just
or
be
not
up
show
front.
Up to teach their classes that they're signed
oh,
up
Oh, yeah,
for doing.
Multiple times. Karen's yeah. not bitter.
Oh, no. I'm not. It's their own choice. But there's also a lot of families that have left because it wasn't a good fit for them. And so,
yes.
So, I mean, it's going to go both ways.
Yeah. And sometimes people move and whatnot like that.
Anyway. But,
yeah. Being very upfront with like what
it is important.
Expected.
Yeah. To lay out your expectations and this is what I want. And these are the requirements to be a part of it. And if you're upfront with the people, then they understand coming in and then it's less of a problem. And the fact that we have to sign this every single year saying, oh, we'll follow those rules. And we know what's expected of us every single year. I sign that thing and I say, yep, I'll be there and do all the things that are expected. And that allows our family to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And continue. So, a little more about the youth program. I want to talk about that some more because I think it can be tricky to build a good youth program for co-ops. I mean, not necessarily tricky, but it just seems like that's where a lot of them fail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. From my just like past experience, that's what it seemed like. But because a lot of them are for younger families. And
So
things that we've done with our youth program to make it just enticing for the kids to be there. They have a leadership class, so like they can run for elected
positions.
Oh,
yeah, they have student government.
They have student government. So they can run for, you know, president, vice president, and serve and help plan activities for the whole families and also for the youth. And they do service projects and they run the opening family activities where we do every year, like we have like field days and things like that.
Like a kickoff.
Mm-hmm. And they get to choose the theme of the year.
Of our sweet t-shirts.
Yep.
One day we'll make a big quilt for whomever is the first people to marry each other in the group.
That's a good
idea. That's their present.
I love it.
I hope it's one of my kids.
We'll see. Anyway, so we do a lot of just really great things. They have monthly activities outside of our co-op so they can meet together socially and do activities mm-hmm. together. We have dances like quarterly and what else? What am I missing? We have a lot of
We try to have
a lot of options. We have a youth retreat. It's not an overnight, but like an all-day retreat they do mm-hmm. before.
But I feel like now it's gotten to a point where somebody's like, I have a fun idea. So somebody wanted the kids to try to read the Book of Mormon mm-hmm. in one full day.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm going to use my house and we'll rotate through, have the kids donate so much money to pay for dinner
mm-hmm.
and like just create it. I usually do the Christmas party.
Yeah. Ugly sweater Christmas party.
Yes, except for it got so big this year that maybe next year, hopefully churches will be open and I can use the church.
It was huge.
But I love to do a summer party because it's easier to have everyone in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do monthly awesome club.
Yeah.
But it got big. So.
Yeah, it's tricky. Anyway, so I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, we also do in the summer. We stay connected in the summer and we do park days weekly
mm-hmm.
for our families. And those are just totally optional. Come as you can.
Well, now that we have older kids too, somebody just did a dating night, mm-hmm. like a speed dating night mm-hmm. or something. Wasn't it speed dating?
Yeah. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on and we love it so much. And it's been a long-term co-op that's lasted. What are we on, our eighth or ninth year?
I know. I couldn't remember.
I feel like it's eight. I think we're on our eighth year. And, it's pretty incredible. So
Well, I wanted to end on one more thing with like, so that's our co-op. But if you are like looking into a co-op, being clear of what is it you want.
Yes.
Because there are co-ops that are drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
there
like,
are some in our community that are as well that just drop-off.
And you're like, guess what? This is where I am right now. I need a drop-off place for my kid. Or some of them are, there's one that's all Lemmy classes. That's all TJ Ed classes. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, it's actually kind of nice because you don't have to know, like, what classes are we going to plan? We just it's go through a rotation.
There. Yeah.
And where we're like, I guess I'll teach this this semester.
We do. We kind of just pick whatever we want to teach.
Yeah. So ours is willy-nilly that way, but I actually like it that way.
I like it too.
And then what are you hoping to get from the co-op? Like, is it just a place for your kids for social stuff?
Yeah, so that's actually been a discussion, like, when I've been on the board of our co-op, that has been thrown out so many times, because there are some families that come just for the fun classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some families that come to give their kids, like their scholar, their older kids.
Like their schooling.
Yeah, like a heavier, meatier class that they wouldn't have been able to do at home. And so people have different purposes, even within our group, of why they're there. And that's why we like to offer different options of classes, so that if, you know, if she's the one that comes just for the fun, her kids can sign up for the art classes. And if mine come for the depth, mine can sign up for the, the harder classes, you know, not harder, but you know what I mean? Like more
studying,
scholarly,
like
studying.
You need to read these books.
Mm-hmm. And so we try to offer a lot of options so that people can get a mix of whatever they want.
Yes. So I've also done, when my, like in supplementing our FLA, I did a group called Invictus where it was four moms that we did a group together, and we just rotated through our houses, and we did a science class. I did a life skills class, and somebody else did history. And then the other mom, because it was just one kid, so she's like, I don't want to teach, but I'll donate towards the funds, right? That's what she wanted, and that's what she could do. And so that was really fun. I've done that before. My daughter Tess, I did for a little while, we did Little Ladies Club.
Yeah.
You remember that? Yes. And so she wanted to hang out with friends, but like, was just having me throw money at different activities she didn't really care about. Like, I guess I'll do dance. I guess I'll try this. And I was like, you don't care about any of these. Why don't we bring a bunch of girls to our house that you know and we love, and I'll do an activity. And then right now with my Briggy, we tried it with multiple kids, but it went back to just one, where he just has one friend come over consistently on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And it recharges him. He gets this really good buddy. I tried bringing in more, which is funny that I would thought he would have liked that. And he was like, no, I just want
just
one.
Want the one friend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like they liked that intimacy that they had with one another.
That's great.
So if what you want doesn't exist, create it, my friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to.
Yeah.
And the surprising thing is, you know, there are so many other people looking for the same kinds of things out there. And like with our group, we've had so many people on our wait list that people are just reaching out to each other and creating their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just make what you want. And it doesn't have to be big and scary. When a big group of moms comes together, we're all capable. We all have skills and knowledge, and everybody's going to contribute and make it, what is it? Many hands make light work. And it doesn't feel as overwhelming as you think it might be.
Yeah. So that's just kind of a background on our co-op and finding a co-op or creating a co-op of whatever it is you want. You can find that.
Yes, definitely.
So you guys are awesome. Don't forget to give us a review because you know you love it. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.